Good morning, church. It is a great joy once again for all of us to come and be in the presence of the Lord. Please turn then in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We continue, and this morning we are in verse 23 to verse 25. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. And the title of this message this morning, Jesus, our physician. Morena Jesu ngaka yaluna. UJesu ungudokotela wethu. You look around, there's so many physicians we go to. There's one behind us here where our sister is working. We thank the Lord for God enabled men through science to do what they do. My wife was not here for like 3 weeks, going up and down with physicians. She's still going to consult. We are weak in the body, physically. We need physicians. But this morning, I just want to take your attention and bring you back to the reality that Jesus is our physician. And we really appreciate what He does as He provides other physicians that we live with. But He is the ultimate physician. So we shall read them together from verse 23 to verse 25. Or maybe for the context, I'm going to read from verse 18 so that we know where we're coming from, where we're going. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. It is easy, brethren, to continue with our study and then lose focus to the reality, or lose focus to the reason why was Matthew writing to the Christian Jews of his time, and how that was aimed to impact every generation that will read the gospel. It is easy to just carry on and forget the context of why was Matthew writing. Why was Matthew writing? To reveal that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of the Jews who was to come into the world. Matthew's aim is to reveal to those Jewish people of that time and to us today that the Messiah who was promised had come into the world, the kingdom of God that was promised by God, the kingdom of God that the people were longing for so long, had in a sense came into the world. And one, if you will believe the message of the Messiah and come to him in faith and repentance, then one enters into that kingdom and God begins to reign within his heart. One begins to have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit living, dwelling within him, leading him, guiding him, teaching him the truth about God. Last week we saw that Jesus did not want to do ministry alone. So what did he do? He went out and called men to follow him, called men to come and learn from him,
so that they may go into the world and preach to the people the message that he will be preaching to them. He calls men to come to him to expand or extend this kingdom of God. He gave them a specific task to be fishers of men. We saw that last week. This morning, Matthew wants to show us that Jesus' words, the things that he spoke, and Jesus' deeds, the things that he did, are the same thing. Let me put it in this way. They were a two sides of the same coin. It's just the same coin. So his words and his deeds, in other words, they were going together. That is what Matthew is trying to show to us as a people today. Bring that in your mind as you think of Jesus, our physician, that his words and his deeds were the two sides of the same coin. Those things cannot be separated. Those things are just one and the same thing to us. And what Jesus then did here in Galilee, where we just read, is so relevant to us, brothers and sisters, this morning, because we are also a people of great needs, physical needs and spiritual needs. We just heard that he was healing people, performing miracles. We need also physical healing touch from the Lord. So it's so relevant today. We are also weak in the body. So Matthew this morning gives us a summary of the ministry of Jesus in Galilee and his endeavors to the people who were in need. Jesus comes to these people of great needs, and he becomes both their physical physician and their spiritual physician. That is very important. He becomes a physician to a people afflicted with various diseases and pain. Sick people oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics. But above all, Jesus becomes a physician of their soul. But this morning, there are three things of great importance that I want us to notice as Jesus attends these great needs of people here in Galilee. And if Jesus is a physician, as I'm saying today, then someone is sick. The question is, how did Jesus deal with such a situation? How did Jesus deal with that situation where people are sick in the body and in the spirit? The first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus preached the gospel. That's the first thing I want you to notice. Jesus preached the gospel. The passage before us makes a great deal about miraculous works, the miraculous works of Jesus, and rightfully so. But if you dig deeper into the story, you realize that all these things are just, I'm going to prove to you, all these things are just coming out or being done by Jesus to point to Jesus and his ministry. Everything just directs us to Jesus Christ. We realize that everything here is about him and the gospel. If you remember very well, if you can just reverse in your mind, remember when we read verse number 17 of this chapter, we said that Jesus preached the gospel of repentance. He preached the kingdom of God, the good news that the kingdom of God has dawned in the darkness. He has come into the world of sin as a light to shine his light unto us and in our hearts. So this passage that we have read this morning summarizes Jesus' teaching and his caring ministry to the people. And this passage set us up to what we're going to look at in the near future, the Sermon on the Mount. This set us up. Unless we understand this, we will not understand his teachings. We need to understand these works that he does. And the central part of his works that I'm bringing to you this morning is the preaching of the gospel. So our Lord traveled throughout Capernaum and Galilee. That's what verse 23 tells us. He's traveling there, teaching the people, ministering to the people, healing the sick, healing the multitude, and training his disciples. Remember, he already have disciples. He called them last week. Now he's walking with them, teaching them. Now you're putting yourself in those disciples' shoes as Jesus begins to teach, as Jesus begins to do all these works. you put yourself on their shoes, you are one with them, you are learning from him. These are the things that you need to teach yourself. These are things that you will need to do yourself. So now he's teaching them practical. He's working with them. And in preaching the gospel and teaching about the kingdom of God, we realize then that Jesus did not, that the first thing you need to recognize as he preaches the gospel, Jesus did not stay in one place. You look at verse number 23. What does verse 23 says? He went throughout all Galilee. In preaching the gospel, he did not stay in one place. He went throughout Galilee preaching the gospel. He moved from one village to the next village. He was explaining to the people the truth of God, the Old Testament, the promises of God unto the people. He was explaining the goodness and the kindness of God to the people. That is news worthy of taking throughout the world. So as Jesus moves, he's preaching to the people. He's not staying or remaining in one place, telling the people about God, telling the sick people, epileptics, paralytics, about God, the very God we have rejected since we were born, the very God they have rejected since they were born, is the God that is bringing to them as he preaches the gospel. He took the truth to where the people were. He took the truth where the need was. And he does this thing, why? Simply because every man needed to hear the gospel. What's the reason why he moved throughout all Galilee and everywhere? Because every man who have ears needs to hear the gospel. The whole region, all through Galilee, a picture of the whole world in darkness, the whole world in need of Christ's gospel, the whole world in need of the light. That is the picture that we have here. People in need of the light. So Jesus could not wait for the people to come to him. That's very important point, friends. Jesus could not wait for the people to come to him. Why? People will not just walk to Jesus. Jesus had to draw near to the people, which is why God sent Jesus from heaven, because we could not approach Jesus. We could not. Even as you sit here, Jesus had to come to us. So the very same thing he's doing here, he's going to the people. That is how you preach or you present or you bring the gospel. You draw to the people. That's what Jesus did. He came where the people were, because people will not come to him. So he was that, there's a word that the theologian they use, it's itinerant preacher. If they say itinerant preacher, it means a traveling preacher, someone who go up and down making those revivals. That is Jesus. Remember, he's doing this among the sick people oppressed by demons. Jesus brings the gospel unto them. He went out teaching, preaching in their synagogues. That is very important for us to recognize. He went also to their synagogues. He didn't just go around, but he also went where the people will gather. He invaded their worship centers with the truth. So he went where the people will sit. And then he came and he brought the truth unto them, teaching the people about God and teaching his disciples to learn from him, because that is the thing they will have to be doing once he has left. So Matthew tells us that Jesus targeted the synagogues. Why will Jesus target the synagogue? Because that is where the people will go to listen. They will go to the synagogue to listen to the public reading of the law and the exposition that is explaining into details the law and the prophets. So in those days, they had these synagogues. It was not a church. It was a kind of, I don't know how they built it, but I can make an example for today. It will be like a small tent like this. Every village will have that. Those who were given the right, they will stand in front and read the law to the people and tell the people how God worked his miracles from Egypt, how God gave the law, what people have to do. So he went to those people, invaded those places, and he came to those places and started to teach inside those places. Because that's where you will find the people who wanted
I want you to note, I'm talking about people who wanted to hear the public reading, exposition of the law. They were found in the synagogue. So Jesus went there. That's where the people will pray. That's where the people will worship God in the best way they knew how. So Jesus took advantage of that opportunity and went there to teach them more about God and the God's promises, to reveal himself to them, to reveal the fact that there is a problem, but there is also a solution. That is what the gospel, I'm bringing to you what Jesus is doing. He's revealing to the people, revealing himself. I am the one whom John was talking about, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. So he's bringing that to the people. And he's telling the people, the reason why I came is because there is a problem, but there's also a solution. What is the problem? There is an offended God, and you are the ones who offended him. But by God's grace, he sent me, his son, to come and be that reconciliating part between you and him. The one who will draw God and man and bring them together. The one who will break that alienation between man and God. So he was pointing to himself as the people sit there in great need. His priority was their spiritual stance. Look unto me. Here am I. Though you have sinned, though God is angry with you, but God is also gracious. By his grace, he sends the peacemaker who will make peace between God and man. The one who will set you right with God. The one who will give you the right to approach God in the throne of grace. The right, the one who has given us all the right to sit under that tree and then pray each and every morning, to stand here and pray unto God. He says, I am the one. I have come. All that you need to do is to look at me and believe my message. Believe that I am he. He's preaching to them the gospel to these people. Dr. John MacArthur, probably you know him. Famous man of good words, good theologian, actually our hero. He's mentioning the reason why Jesus will go to the synagogues, a very good explanation. MacArthur mentioned that Jesus went to the synagogues because the most zealous people about God were found there. That is very important. The most zealous people were found in the synagogue. But hey, here is Jesus going to the most zealous people about God, still preaching to them the gospel. Friends, you can be zealous about God and still miss the point. That is the point I'm making. He goes to the most zealous people about God. Those people who dedicated themselves to understand God. One thing they were missing, to look unto Jesus and live. He goes to them. Oh, I wish I could say the same. That the most zealous people about God today are found in churches. I wish I can say the same. The church is not where you will find the true hearts these days. Oh, what a terrible thing it is, my friends. But he went to the synagogues where people will worship God in truth and in his spirit. The same picture that God wants us to have or to be today. To worship him in spirit and in truth. People who will not be tired of the preaching of the word of God. People who will long for the proclamation of the truth. People will ask, Ras, when are you preaching to me? Zealous people about the truth. Jesus approaches. He went about exposing men's sin and the alienation they have with God, calling men out of darkness unto his marvelous light, calling men to become the citizens of heaven, to be part with him, to be where he is. God sending his son to preach the gospel that will draw men unto him, the gospel that will bring the power of adoption to us as his sons, bringing those who were far off, those who didn't love God, to bring them to God. To love God. He explains to them, if you have sickness and pain, you need God. You need the gospel. You need to look unto him and live. If you can just come to me through faith
and repentance. He's telling this man how much they've rebelled against God and the wrath they've accumulated because of their sins. He's telling them, God is angry with sin and sinners alike. Telling men they have no hope in this world. They have no hope in the world to come unless they come to Jesus. Do you know that yourself, my friend? You don't have hope in this world. You do not have hope in the world to come unless you are in Christ Jesus. Unless you are brought together in Jesus Christ. He's challenging men to occupy their hearts with Him. To occupy their minds and so that they will stay with their minds, staying upon Him, trusting Him as their Lord and Savior. But I want you to notice as well the exclusivity or the exclusiveness of the gospel. I want you to notice that these people had three kinds of problems, or three kinds of needs, if you want to bring it that way. They were demon possessed, and such oppression by evil spirit was oppressive and destructive upon the people. You can remember the man that the Bible speaks about in Mark chapter 5. If you get home, just read the first verse, the few verses of Mark chapter number 5. The Bible tells us, it says, that man, no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chain, but he twisted the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountain he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. That's what happens when a man is bound by demons. That is the picture that you see. The story that I'm reading you in chapter number 5 of Mark is not what was happening directly where we're reading, but similar things. They had that kind of a problem. People possessed with the demons. We do have people possessed with the demons even today. But here is Jesus bringing the gospel in demon-possessed people. People were held hostage in their own bodies by evil, as it is today. And another concern that these people had, they had diseases and sicknesses. They were epileptics, they were paralytics, they were mentally disturbed people, suffering from seizures and many crippling conditions among them. Things we cannot explain. Diseases like Ebola, diseases like maybe HIV, HIV is not really a disease, but AIDS. Things that really are tough. I'm making these examples not because the sicknesses I'm mentioning, they were there at the time, but tough things like that, things we cannot bear as people. They had that problem in those days. People suffering. But people came to him when he was not in the synagogues, and they wanted him to have compassion on them. And Jesus had compassion on them. The Bible says he healed them all. But my friends, the reason I'm mentioning this thing is because of the third need that they had. Because I said they had three. The third need is because they were spiritually dead. They were spiritually blind. So why am I mentioning this thing? It's because Jesus saw that the spiritually deadness or the spiritually blindness that they had was of primary concern. It was of primary concern. You read these verses, it says Jesus went throughout preaching and teaching, then healing the sick. So the spiritual blindness of people is of importance. It is of primary concern unto Jesus. They were spiritually blind, my friends. Dead in their sins and trespasses. They were in darkness. So Jesus preached the gospel. Because only the gospel can take away the real curse upon the people. The curse that is now pictured here by diseases and sickness. So as you look at diseases and sickness, picture them as a curse that is oppressing the soul. As something similar to how the soul is suffering. As people suffer in the body, that is how a soul of a sinner is suffering. Jesus thinks that is more important. Not that the other is not. He preaches the gospel. Jesus understood that it does not help, my friend, to heal people outwardly and leave their soul sick and oppressed still. So regardless of our legitimate needs in this world, regardless of our concerns in this world, the gospel plays a vital role in the life of man. It is the gospel that enlightens man. It is the gospel that points man unto God. And for that reason, my friends, everyone needs to hear the gospel. That is why Jesus goes around throughout and preaching the gospel. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. We also need to go everywhere in our little town, in this township, and preach the gospel unto the world that is oppressed. Let us bring the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, to the world that is oppressed by sin, oppressed by demons, oppressed by sickness. The gospel of the kingdom of God. So if we want to make a lasting change in people's lives, what do? We must preach the gospel. We must bring souls to Jesus. We must call men to turn to God in faith and repentance. That's the first way I'm saying Jesus deals with the situation. But secondly, my friends, how does Jesus deal with the situation? Jesus performed miracles. I was saying first, Jesus preached the gospel. Now I want to emphasize that Jesus performed miracles. That's how he approached the situation. First with the gospel. Now I'm saying he performed miracles. The point I want to make here, my friends, the miracles were beyond the people's imagination. As the people were sitting there, they had no hope. But here comes Jesus, not only speaking, but also doing deeds, doing miracles. The miracles serve their physical need. That's what the miracles of Jesus did, serving people's physical concerns. The miracles showed on the outside how the gospel affects the inside. So as Jesus heals someone who cannot be healed, we see by faith how he turns a sinner into a saint. The same way he will heal someone with leprosy, which is something incurable, is the same thing. So those miracles, they're teaching us in reality how Jesus deals with man's soul. He performed the miracles. We need to read through these miracles and see the power of Jesus. So Jesus was doing the redemptive work of destroying the kingdom of Satan. No longer will Satan have sway over people and over their hearts. Because of the miracles of Jesus, Satan will no longer have the power to oppress the people. Listen very carefully, my friends. Pay attention. The miracles of Jesus were revealing him to the people. The miracles of Jesus will cause people to believe on Jesus. The miracles of Jesus were a historical demonstration that Jesus had the divine authority, that Jesus was God. Jesus came from God, and the miracles, they're showing us that. I'm going to prove to you just now. So he was from God. His miraculous works were that key part of his life, demonstrating his authority. They were manifesting his deity, that Jesus is divine. Although he's walking in their streets, and although he's among them, but he's not from them. The miracles were telling who Jesus was. Turn to John chapter 5. Let's read verse 36 together. John chapter 5. The miracles were telling who Jesus was. It says here, you can listen as well if you have not found it yet. Jesus says, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." What am I saying, my friends? The miracles were showing us who Jesus was. So they were kind of a light shining upon him. This is the man you should draw to. Those miracles were proving that. So Matthew says to us, he healed every disease, every affliction among the people. In other words, my friend, there was no sickness, resistance to the authority of Jesus. Jesus is God's promised anointed servant who was to come with great miraculous power. So now I'm saying, it was promised by God that His anointed one, the Messiah, will be recognized by performing miracles. That's what I'm saying. So then I'm going to prove to you. That is why I'm saying the miracles were pointing to Him, because it was promised that He will do so. So you will wait until you see the man who performed miracles. Then you will know that the kingdom of God has come. So the people were waiting all these years until someone come to perform miracles, so that they know that is the one they need to believe. So the miracles will tell the people of Jesus who He was. But the most amazing thing, even it happens today, even though God had promised, as I will read for you, no one among the people actually thought that among them will rise such a man. No one thought. Just like here in Olivet, there's so much chaos. No one thinks that in Olivet they can arise a good gospel preaching church. Everybody, when you go and talk to them, we know these churches. But nobody understands that even in a worse place like this, something good can come out. The same as you, in your own life. When you are so deep in trouble, you don't think at that time that God can just turn around that bad situation and bring good unto you from that bad situation. So they're sitting there, minding their own business, sick and dying, not thinking that God can actually fulfill His promises in their generation. You yourself need not to bring that in your mind. God can fulfill His promise to you today. So they were sitting there, minding their own business. They don't think that God can do it. But let us all open to this promise that I was talking about. Isaiah chapter 35. Let's read from verse 5 and verse 6. Isaiah 35. Look at what God is saying. And then tell me that is not Jesus Christ. This, what we are reading now, is written more than 708 years before the coming of Jesus. Pointing to the future. Someone is coming in the near future. Someone will have the power in his hand to perform miracles, to do the great works of God. Isaiah 35, it says in my Bible, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For the waters break forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. This is God's promise that when His anointed come, what do we hear? Blind eyes will be opened. Nobody ever opened a blind man's eye. That is exactly that is happening now here where we just read. Pointing to us that Jesus is the man. He says the deaf will start to hear. Those who are mute, those who does not have the gift of speech, will start singing for joy. Those who are crippled will limp with joy like a deer. Those people who are sick, lying in bed, in their wheelchairs, they will come up and limp for joy. That happened in the book of Acts. It happened in the life of Jesus. That is what the miracles were pointing. Jesus. God is saying, through the prophet, in the near future, there will be a time whereby the salvation of God will provide or will include physical healing and spiritual healing. And my friends, we know, as I've just said, that was inaugurated at the first coming of Jesus. In other words, I'm saying it was fulfilled in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, it says, Jesus says, but if it is by God's Spirit that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I'm the guy who's casting out demons, remember the promise. Now, then, if you remember that, it means the kingdom of God has come, meaning the king has come. You can't have a kingdom without the king. The miracles were pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. So as we think of those miracles of Jesus, let us be reminded that the miracles revealed Jesus as a fulfillment of prophecy, which is Matthew's idea throughout. Let us be reminded that the miracles revealed Jesus as that promised captain of salvation, the one who will come and bring salvation and physical healing to people, the physician of the soul who will bring deliverance from demons and the power of Satan. The miracles were his credential. They were that which points or that gives him the authority to be who he is or who he was. They were his credential as that long-awaited Messiah was to come into the world. The miracles, in other words, they were speaking on his behalf. That is why he says to others, if you really don't believe me, don't believe what I say, you don't believe that since I come from Galilee, I can be somebody. All right, then believe for the sake of my miracle. Believe for the sake of the miracles. In other words, he doesn't say the miracles makes people to believe. He's saying the miracles were supposed to remind the people who you are. Believe the miracles. No man can do such things. So you are the Son of God. That is why Nicodemus comes to him in John chapter 3. If you read it at home, he says, Rabbi, we know because of the things that we do, we know you are a teacher who comes from God. Not because of how he looked. Nicodemus didn't believe what he said. He saw the miracles and says, you know what? This is the one who has to come. The miracles of Jesus pointed to Jesus as that long-awaited Son of God. They spoke on his behalf. Listen to what Peter says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. Jesus is that man appointed by God to be the Savior of the world. You sit here, you don't know Jesus. You sit here, you don't have a relationship with him. Oh, my friends, there is no other that can help you. There is no other that can draw you and pull you out of that burning furnace, that hell of fire, but Jesus. The miracles of Jesus says Jesus is the King who has to come into the world. They're saying, behold the man who performed miracles among you. Wake up, the King has come. That is what the miracle says. Wake up, the Savior of the world has come. The light has dawned. Wake up. But I want you to remember that the miracles did not on themselves overcome man's rejection of the truth. Which is why we learn from the gospel that in many different occasions Jesus refused to perform miracles, because miracles do not by themselves overcome man rejection to the truth. So Jesus will refuse at times to perform miracles. But there's never an occasion where Jesus refused to preach the gospel. He will preach the gospel sitting on a boat. He will preach the gospel sitting on a hard solid rock up the mountain. He will preach the gospel at night to Nicodemus, who comes to him by night. He will just preach the gospel, because the gospel is the central part that turns men from sinners to saints. So it is obvious, my friends, from where we just read, from the text, from the Bible itself, that the miracles of Jesus should be best understood as that sign of the arrival of the King of Kings. The sign of the arrival of the one who is the physician of the soul and physician of the body, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They reveal the character of the kingdom. They reveal the character of the King. They were meant to authenticate his ministry as the Messiah, to make sure that people understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. And above all that I just said now, they were there to make sure that the people may believe on Jesus. That is the main idea, my friend. It doesn't help to have all these miracles unless people will believe on him. That is why he did the message, the miracles, that people may come to him as their spiritual physician, that people may come to him as their Savior and Lord. So he performed these miracles to help men to identify the Savior. Do those miracles today, as you read about them today, identify a Savior for you. Do you see him as the man separate from all other men, a man who did something that no man can do? Does those miracles draw you to him to understand that Jesus is King? Okay, let's move on. The third point that I want to bring to you as the time is running. After preaching the gospel and performing the miracles, Jesus, the third point, allowed people to follow him. So it doesn't help to preach the gospel and perform miracles if people will not be allowed to follow Jesus. So if you have believed the gospel and you believe the miracles of Jesus, the third thing that Jesus did, he allowed the people to follow him. That is very important. Let me prove to you. It's very important because people, as I've said last week, need to follow Jesus. You will need to follow him. Well, last week I was talking about following him in terms of believing in him. Now I'm talking about following him in terms of one who has already believed, now continuing on the walk with Jesus. So Jesus allowed men to follow him because people need to follow Jesus, and he's willing to gather people together. He wants people to come to him willing to go wherever he goes, to walk with him, to see his heart for the lost soul, to see his compassion for sinners, to see his sympathy and kindness. You need to follow Jesus to see all those things. You will never know that Jesus is kind and loving unless you follow Jesus, unless you go wherever he leads, unless you do exactly as he said you must do, unless you walk as he walked. You will never understand it. That is why he allowed men to follow him. He allowed people to follow him. And if they will follow him truly, the scripture says he will cast none that follows him. So if you come to Jesus, regardless of where you come from, regardless of how much sickness you have, regardless of how much baggage and trouble that you have in your life, if you come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. That's how good he is. He will never cast you out. Perhaps these people, they followed Jesus because of physical needs, so they follow him because of the miracles. But the point is, his character was displayed as they followed him. That is the compassionate king. The Bible says in verse 24 of your Bibles in Matthew, his fame spread throughout. In other words, the miracles remained as Jesus' testimony throughout the ages. People, they were following him. If it says fame spread out, it means someone was telling the other one, there is a man who heals, there is a man who preaches, there is a man who does miracles. And the next will tell the next, and the next will tell the next. Until today, we're still telling people his fame went throughout because he allowed men to follow him. He removed everything that hindered people's joy and comfort. That is why they followed him. If there's something that is hindering your joy and comfort, follow Jesus. People follow him because their afflictions were taken away. Even today, if you follow him, your afflictions will be taken away. I'm not saying that Jesus promised to heal everyone that comes to him with sickness, but Jesus has the power to do so. If he chooses to do, he will do. He led people to comfort. If you come to him, he will touch your life. You will gain hope and strength to carry on. And you will know that one day, when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, those who have believed in him, those who are saved, they will find their true home. The Bible says he will wipe away their tears. They will have their joy complete because they followed till to the end. Verse 25 says, great crowds followed him. And I'm convinced that you are also one of Jesus' followers. You are following him. But the question that remains, are you following him because of the miracles that he performs? Or because, let me put it in our context today, because of the things that you are hoping he will do for you, or the things that he has done for you in the physical? Are you following him because of the blessing that we can see? Because you did not have work, now you are working. You did not have a car, now you are having a car. Are you following because of that? Or are you following because the gospel has done some good work and everlasting work in your hearts? Because there's a danger in just following blindly. You need to follow because of something great that has happened in your heart, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, my friends, people of great needs, people who are hungry and sick, cannot comprehend anything that is said to them. So I'm saying, people who are sick in the body, you cannot just give them the gospel. Yes, I'm saying that you cannot just give them the gospel. Medical attention is needed. But to those people who can hear the gospel, here's my question: does now the things that affect the physical, should those things be something that motivates you to come to Christ? No, my friends. Even though people need physical attention, medical attention, but it shouldn't be something that motivates someone to follow Jesus. Your heart must be open to the truth of God. Jesus one day criticized the Jews for seeking bread that perishes. Remember in John chapter 6, when he multiplied the bread, he said, "You're following me because you have ate the bread and it fills your stomach, but your hearts are far away from me." So my friends, there is a sense here that can remind us, something that can remind us, that the things that happens physically are real good, but something needs to happen in the heart. Follow Jesus because something has happened in your heart. Let me rush through quickly. So those who followed Jesus, there were people who were sick. Sick in the body, sick in the spirit. Different kinds of sickness, my friends. So what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter what kind of sickness, what kind of a disease you have. It doesn't matter whether he's healed or not healed. What matters the most is that you follow Jesus. Because some of these people who followed Jesus, they were still not healed, even though others they followed because they were healed. So whether we are healed or not healed, the main point, are you following Jesus? Follow Jesus. Have you heard the gospel? Do you see his miracles? Do they remind you that Jesus Christ is Lord? What a beautiful picture as you see those people come to him, all following. A beautiful picture of the whole world coming to Jesus in their different conditions of life, in their different conditions of sickness, sickness of the soul, coming to Jesus. And Jesus, the Bible says, healed them all. What does that tell you? If any person from anywhere comes to Jesus with any condition, spiritual condition, whatever condition, Jesus healed them all. If you can just cast your burden upon him, Jesus healed them all. He can heal your soul even today. He can place you in that highest place above all places, where you shall be called a child of God. Friends, the people delivered from demon possession followed him. Today you can follow him. Today people need to be delivered from the power of Satan. Follow him. Be delivered from sin. Follow him. And like I mentioned, other people were already being healed. They also follow him. So if you have already come to Jesus, you have believed in Jesus, let me encourage you, regardless of the situation, regardless of whatever goes on in your life, follow Jesus. Keep following the Savior. He's the King of Kings. Friends, Jesus wants his fame to go throughout the world. Jesus wants people to follow him. The Bible says great crowds followed him from Galilee to the ends of Judea. A picture of people coming to Jesus, as I've said. The Bible says, let me tell you this verse, one of the most beautiful verses, as you follow Jesus, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Blessed are those who will follow Jesus, a physician of the soul." Here's the big idea this morning. The world is sick and troubled, oppressed by demon and everything else. But people's wants should not dictate our mission. People's wants should not move us from the mission of preaching the gospel. We must proclaim the gospel, not merely informing the mind and meeting people's needs, their daily needs. We need to instruct their hearts. The hearts of men must turn from sin to God. We must go everywhere in our little township and preach the gospel, bringing sinners to God, showing them the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ remind you that Jesus Christ is compassionate. Jesus Christ is kind. Jesus Christ is good. He heals our body. He is interested. My friend, listen very much. He is interested in the things that are going on in our lives. He is interested in our bodies. Let not anyone
tell you a lie.
Jesus is interested that we get healed, but Jesus has not promised that we will all get healed. That is the point. He didn't promise that. Follow Jesus Christ. There is nothing stopping him from redeeming your soul. Walk with him. Follow him for what is right, not for what is wrong. Don't follow him because he must keep performing miracles. Some people, they just want to see things happening day by day. Then they become fakes. Follow Jesus because a great change has been done in your life. Follow him and be a living testimony of the power of Jesus, the saving power of Jesus. May his fame, my friend, spread throughout this place because you have believed in him. May his fame spread throughout this place because you are living for him. Jesus is our physician. How? He heals our physical body, our spiritual body, and then he allows his patients to follow him. May the good Lord bless us as we think of this gracious and glorious God who heals us, who makes sure that we hear the gospel and allows us to follow him. Follow him. In Jesus' name, let us pray.
So we thank you, O Lord, for your word that we hear this morning. We thank you, O Lord, to know that you are a physician of our soul, of our body, O Lord. And we give you thanks that you, O Lord, have healed us of all our sins, that we have covered us our sins, O Lord, and we are healed from it. O Lord, we thank you that even this morning, your hand is not too short to save, that you, O Lord, are still able to save, are still able to open the eyes of those who are blind spiritually, even physically, that you, O Lord, are still able to open the ears of those who are not here, O Lord. So we pray that you may open up our ears, that we may hear your word, that we may understand you, O Lord, that our eyes may see you as the Lord, as the Savior, as the King of this kingdom, O Lord. So we pray that you may bless your word into our hearts, that we may be refreshed by it, O Lord. So we give you thanks and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. May the Church of God say Amen.
Amen.